Hi, this is Bill Indicke for the Streets.mn podcast, conversations about transportation, public space, and urban design in the Twin Cities. The podcast this week is a conversation with Michael Roden, a practicing architect who lives in Minneapolis, about design proposals for 29th Street in South Minneapolis. Michael lives in a new apartment building right next to the Midtown Greenway in 29th Street, and he took me on a tour of the 29th Street area before we retired to his small patio to talk about the possibilities of the 29th Street design project. The city has a small pot of money to do some pedestrian improvements for a stretch of this oft-overlooked street, and Michael and I covered some ground about potential for making a pedestrian space. We talked about what it looks like today, i.e. not very good, what it might look like in the future, and the possibilities for that are wide open, and what the city's process might be for deciding what to do with this odd alleyway street. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Okay, welcome to the Streets.mn podcast. I'm here with Michael Roden, who is an architect who lives in South Minneapolis, and we're standing. Michael, tell me where we're standing.
Well, we're standing right up against a fence on 29th Street between Bryant and Colfax. We're south of the Greenway. We're looking at a lot of 4, 5, and 6-story new construction apartments. Standing on a patch of grass that's mostly dirt, looking at a lot of potholes. There's a pretty narrow street with a lot of cars. It's about maybe 12 cars per block parked on one side.
Do you know how wide this street is?
I don't actually. Oh, maybe 20, 25 feet. You know, it's enough for two cars to barely squeeze by each other and have parking on the side. There's an old, cool-looking fence. What is that, like wrought iron or something across there? And then also some chain link. You know, it's kind of a very well-used street, but not very well-maintained. And I think, you know, there's a lot of opportunity with everything that's happening all around it for this to become something that adds to so much exciting stuff that's happening all around this area and uptown in general.
Yeah, the thing that I noticed immediately is that it's like literally overhanging the Greenway. So the Greenway is this amazing bike trail that goes east-west through Minneapolis between Lake and 28th and right alongside 29th for this like mile stretch or something, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And with the Greenway, I was just thinking the other day, I live right here and just thinking what an incredible thing this is. And I know a few years back it was a big fight, but really, I think one of the best things that ever happened to Minneapolis, and it's just such an incredible asset that to just build onto that, you know, it makes it a lot easier to build great things on top of it when you have a really great backbone to work with.
Yeah, and we're actually on a crappy part of the sidewalk, too. Like, there's some dirt here. It doesn't quite connect. So, yeah, it's kind of like what you're saying. It's sort of under-maintained, right? And it seems like this is like an alley. It seems like an alley to me.
Yeah, exactly. And the really interesting thing about it, and I think the biggest benefit this could reap if we, you know, if we really made something special out of it, is that there's two really big nodes in uptown right now. There's, of course, Hennepin and Lake Street, where everybody thinks of, you know, central uptown. But then also Lynn Lake, which has always been a little bit sleepier and still is. But it's growing, and it's such an exciting area. And there's really no safe or, you know, pleasant way to get from one to the other. Most people will just take Lake Street, and it's just a lot of traffic, no real easy way to do it. And this could provide a really pleasant, more pedestrian-oriented path of travel. Even if there were, you know, still cars included on the street, it would be much more equal.
Cool. Well, let's go talk about that. We're going to go to your house now, right?
Yeah.
You live really close to here, right?
Yeah, we're looking at it.
Oh, we are? Yeah. It's one of these new buildings?
Yeah, it's right there, track 29.
Oh, okay, cool. I can't wait to go inside one of those. I've just gone past them.
Okay, yep. Here we go.
Okay, we're back. Hi, Michael. Where are we now?
Now we're on my balcony, third floor, facing the Skyway. Or, I'm Skyline.
Wow, you almost said the magic word. That would have started a whole new conversation. Luckily, there are no skyways in Uptown. But yeah, I can see the IDS Center and Capella Tower. Is that what they're calling that now?
Yeah. And what else is that? City Center. You can see that from here.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
So you're an architect. I wanted you to just chat about where you're coming from and why did you become an architect?
I guess I became an architect because that's what I always knew I wanted to do. I don't know why exactly. Probably halfway through my architecture career, I realized that it's not so much the buildings I'm interested in as the as what's around the buildings and the people. But maybe it was too late, or maybe there's a way to use architecture to inform that, and disciplines definitely overlap.
Yeah, I think so too. It's like one of my frustrations with architecture. In fact, one of my first blog posts that I never published, not for streets, but for my sidewalks blog, so this is like 8 years ago, was the problem with architects, and I was going to like talk about how much architects frustrate me, and it's because like they only focus on the building as like kind of an abstract sculpture. It's like, does the building look cool? And then architects do think, though, about the functions of the building, and does it do well as an office or as a fire station, and you think about that. But the famous book by Jan Gehl is called Spaces Between Buildings or Life Between Buildings. I forget. Have you read that?
I haven't read that, but I think you're right, and I think part of it is just a changing attitude where architecture was, a kind of a microcosm of the greater culture, where when we were building all these landscapes that we're now trying to change, we were only focusing on one thing. We didn't think about how everything affects everything else. And so just as, civil engineers coming out of school now are much more aware of how their designs affect the landscape, so do architects, where before it was much more building focused and project focused and didn't look at the greater site, I guess.
Yeah, or that like the relationships between things, instead of just like, it's reductionism to me. It's like, hey, well, let's just look at this isolated thing, but actually it's all about the chemistry and the fabric between the things that you, the elements that you put in your neighborhood. So yeah, I took a couple architecture classes at the U. Did you go to the U or somewhere else?
No, I went to NDSU in Fargo.
Okay, so. Cool. Yeah, go Fighting Sioux. Is that the right?
No, we're the Bison.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go Bison.
Or I should say Bison with a Z, because that's how they all pronounce it.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't never know that. Well, anyway, have you ever read Christopher Alexander? You should read that. It's a pattern language. Anyway, it's an awesome architecture book. I'll tell you about it later. But, okay, so that's you, and you have a cool dog, and the dog's, like licking my leg.
Yeah, he gets in trouble.
How long have you lived in this Track 29 building?
So I moved in August with my fiancé and dog. And, yes, we've been here, 8 months now? And it's been great, and this, neighborhood is great, and that's partially what got me so involved in what we're talking about today, the 29th Street. Is just, kind of setting down roots and really trying to affect and make change and live in the, become a part of the neighborhood I live in and make it into what I want it to be.
Yeah, these buildings are cool. There's like a string of, four or five story. How many units are in this building?
Well, I don't know. It's a decently large four-story building and then a six-story building, also part of the same complex. I don't know, hundreds.
Yeah, and it's, quite a change in the neighborhood, but it's really exciting to see, like, this. The whole Greenway area used to be very sort of underused industrial land with train tracks down in that trench, and it's transformed into this, like, very urban, people everywhere kind of place that people are biking and jogging down 29th. We got hit by, not hit by, but the on our sidewalk, this jogger, was going by just as we were stopping the conversation. So, anyway, let's talk about 29th Street. It's, how much of the street are we talking about? Because it goes for quite a ways, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's really interesting, and it's, it does go quite a ways, but it's broken up in a lot of different sections, and it's definitely not, like, a continuous city street, like most are. But the section we're talking about is just between DuPont and Lindale in the Uptown area, and sort of put some landmarks to it. That's between the Rainbow and Lindale. It's four blocks. It's four smaller blocks. Not a huge area, but could really, there's a huge opportunity to make something completely new and something really exciting in that area where there's really nothing now.
Yeah, 29th for me, like, okay, so when I moved to Minneapolis, it was 2003, and I had a car back then, you know, and 29th was always my secret parking street. Like, nobody would drive down it, and you could usually find parking spots. That's, like, what I think of 29th. It's like a secret parking street, and it's an alley where broken glass and dumpsters are.
Yeah, and that's definitely, I think, going to be a fight that I foresee when this, you know, becomes more of a reality. There's about 12 parking spots on each block, so that's 48 spots that are going to be a fight for everyone.
And they're not metered, they're free, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's why the Costanzas really come out when it comes to this street, you know? But, I don't know. So, yeah, let's not talk about negative things. Let's talk about positive things.
Right.
So what would we do on this? You said a four-block stretch. That's a very small amount of street.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I think I was talking to somebody the other day about this, how a lot of these new developments, and I'm sure some people would argue this fact, but I really think that they're very, very thoughtful of the context they're in. And I think of, if anybody's familiar with the Lime Building on Lindale and the walkway near, what is that, the McDonald's in Uptown, is they really just were very generous in what they gave to the how much sidewalk they gave, what the amenities they put onto it, bike racks, plantings, and I think they see the value in giving back to the community, and that's going to make their own building that much more valuable. And so there's all these great anchors and all these great things happening and going on around 29th Street, but 29th Street is still just full of potholes and kind of forgotten. And it could become a really great pathway to get from Hennepin and Lake over to Lindale and Lake, where right now it's sort of an unpleasant schlep to get from one to the other.
An unpleasant schlep.
Yeah.
I like that. So what would you do to the street? Like, or it's not necessarily decided, right? It's like we're just starting a conversation.
No, yeah, there's nothing even on the drawing board.
Well, what are some of the options? Let's brainstorm.
Okay.
You're an architect. I'm like a nerd. Like, so one of the things I thought of was, hey, what about shared space? That's this concept in the Dutch word that we just remembered. It was Woonerf, right? But it's really like a street that you have cars on, but they are really calmed down, and the, like, max speed limit is like 10.
Yeah.
And it's like a space that people are dominant in. So it's like a bike boulevard for people, for walkers. You know, it's kind of like the same idea.
Yeah, and is it true that a Woonerf, there's really no sidewalks or a change in elevation? It's all sort of flat where everybody has the same sort of priority. And, you know, cars wouldn't feel comfortable going very quickly. They're allowed, but they have to, you know, make way for everybody else.
Yeah, that's certainly the idea. You know, it's like, it's kind of counterintuitive because normally you'd be like, well, we need pedestrians on a curb so they're separated from the cars that are driving on the street and everyone has their space. And, like, you wouldn't walk in the middle of the street, right? That'd be dangerous and stupid. But here you're flipping it around and you're saying, well, let's just make the street as dangerous looking as possible so that everybody, like, is going to treat it with utmost caution. You know, is that kind of the idea? I don't know. Mondermann sort of started this.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's a really good idea that maybe has been lost and we need to start touting again, is that the vehicles with the most power or the most likely to hurt others are the ones that are the most careful. You know, if I'm just running around with just my own body, then I'm not going to be able to damage a car. So
you could try hard.
I guess I could try.
Yeah.
But maybe I would need to be less careful than a car who has a lot of responsibility while on that street. A responsibility to be careful and to not hurt anybody.
Yeah. So anyway, that's like one possible idea. And who knows what it would look like? Because this really hasn't been tried before. And there's this conversation on streets.mn just this week about the Washington Avenue light rail area by the campus and how that would be a good place to get rid of some signs and traffic signals and start making this into sort of a more common sense space instead of the super controlled landscape that it is today. And this seems like kind of a parallel situation.
Yeah, I feel like we lost our faith in intuition, and just, you know, it spiraled out of control, where now we need to micromanage everything, and as a result, everything is super unintuitive. It doesn't make any sense if you were to sit down and design it.
So what would be, would you have, how much car activity would be on the street? Why not just close it off completely?
You know, that's an option. That is an option, and there's actually, I should plug this, there's a open house meeting on, I have written down here, the May 27th, I think that's a Thursday, in Elon, which is one of these new buildings here, 2837 DuPont Avenue South. So that's from 6 to 7:30, if you want to come.
Yeah. So that's good to know about. We'll put that on the, is that this Thursday?
I think it's next Thursday.
Oh, good, because I don't want to do this week.
Yeah. No, you know, it's really in the beginning phases, and, you know, maybe the support would be there to close it off to cars. We can have just a pedestrian thoroughfare. Maybe it's water features and some little performance spaces. Maybe it's a playground. Maybe it's an enclosed dog park in parts of it. I don't know. It could be a lot of things, really, depending on what the community wants and what the will is.
Giant ball pit.
Yeah, it's possible.
That's just my idea. Well, so, okay, that's exciting. So you really don't even know what it might look like. You are just kind of telling people that this could be a new kind of space. And really, this should be wide open to everybody to imagine this right now crappy-looking marginal space and what it could look like.
Yeah, and this was actually a pet project of R.T. Ryback before he left office. He made sure to get a little line item piece for it in the budget, and it's just for the four blocks that I laid out, and it's like $700,000, which isn't much. It's more just of a placeholder.
Actually, that's a significant chunk, because the whole bike boulevard in St. Paul, the Jefferson Avenue bike boulevard, was $1 million.
Oh.
So $700,000 seems like you could do a lot in four blocks with that.
Oh, well, I guess I'm corrected then.
I it seems to me. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great to be there. You know, if we can do a lot with even just that, that would be great.
I think we should just pave everything and put some extra parking in.
That'd probably be the best way to go.
Well, you have, okay. So actually having the money there already is kind of amazing. And that means that the project's definitely going to happen, because spending the money is number one thing that we do easily if we're politicians or whatever, right? Yeah, so if the money's there, it'll happen. Something's going to happen, right? What's the process? I guess there's a meeting. I don't know. I guess we covered everything. I don't know, Michael. What do you think?
Yeah, I just really encourage anybody in the neighborhood or even outside of the neighborhood, because, you know, Uptown is a big draw, and a lot of people come and use this. And so what happens here really reflects on the rest of the city, and it's a great opportunity to just elevate an already great neighborhood and great area to something even better.
Okay, well, I have a question for you actually now. What would you do if you had complete and utter control over the space? Not speaking for anyone else, just for you.
For me, I would just make it into this really lush pedestrian thoroughfare, and it would be a connection, a very obvious connection between Lyndale and Hennepin. And it's well on its way. In my own world, I would close it off to cars, because there's a lot of directions for cars to go, and there's a lot of people in this neighborhood, and there's a lot of buildings going up, and construction's not done yet, and there's enough of a critical mass of people even just living here that could be, I think, used to great potential most of the time.
Yeah, and we were talking a second ago about the Greenway streetcar right before on our walk over here. So there is in theory, plans for a streetcar that would run next to the bike trail and walking trail on the Greenway, right? And it would go literally feet from this 29th Street at this point. It seems like a really interesting, I don't know, you're kind of overlooking where the streetcar would go or where the Greenway does go currently.
Yeah, but it's in a, you know, a railroad tunnel, so it's not like it's right up against the street. And I was thinking the other day how this four-block section is so unique. And, you know, you have these really neat bridges crossing over every block. And if you've ever ridden on the Greenway, it's just this kind of surreal experience passing under all those bridges all at once. It just looks like it goes on into infinity. And just a really, really interesting area, really architecturally interesting, really beautiful. A lot of trees, and you forget that, we don't forget, but you are in the middle of the city, and it just feels so lush. And on a nice summer day, there's bikes everywhere.
This is the first nice summer day of the 2014, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely one of the first summer days. And the great thing, being right here on the Bryant Avenue bikeway, you know, for the complaints there are about how it went, at certain times it reaches a critical mass where there's so many bikes on the road that cars just have to yield. Either yield or you know, turn onto a different street.
Yeah, I was going to say something naughty. But I just was thinking about that. I think I might write a post tomorrow about the Bryant Boulevard, because it's kind of a fail as a boulevard, because they didn't put any dividers or traffic diverters in there, and it's kind of like still a through street for cars, even though it's got this faded green paint on there. So, but once you get a critical mass, then yeah, it does change. And I think if they just put one diverter in there, maybe at Lake Street or maybe somewhere else, that would do the trick, and it would become a really quality, high quality bike street.
Yeah, and I heard too that something that they were trying to do, during the fight to make it happen, was have some roundabouts. Like I know there are a few small residential roundabouts in St. Paul.
Yeah, and those were all fights too. I can tell you all about those.
Yeah, and so what that would do too is then one reason bikers don't like to use Bryant, beside that there's still cars on it, is that you have to block or have to stop every two blocks or every block. And so if we could go back and get some roundabouts in there, you know, it's everybody's yielding, everybody just keeps moving at a manageable pace, and that'd be great too.
You could put one at 29th Street.
Yeah, perfect.
Actually, that'd be pretty smart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, anyway, Michael, that's all. We'll just call it a day, because it's too nice to sit here and talk about the future. Well, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, great opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Remind me again what's happening. Thanks for listening to the Streets.mn podcast. Again, please consider joining if you appreciate this podcast or any of the Streets.mn content. If you have any feedback or ideas, you can comment on Streets.mn on Twitter at StreetsMN, or you can email me at blindeke@gmail.com. So long from South Minneapolis.